SBS Radio.
Photographer Hayley Miller-Baker is a Gunditjmar woman from Victoria. She's an awarded photographer and a recipient of the John and Margaret Baker Memorial Fellowship and will receive a cash prize for her work, A Series of Unwarranted Events, 2018. And Hayley is joining us on NITV Radio. Congratulations, Hayley.
Thank you very much.
So the winning artwork, it portrays stories of your people and expose realities of life during the colonizations of the country. How would you describe this artwork to our listeners?
So I would, to describe the artwork, basically it is four stories of Gunditjmara experiences with frontier violence and quite tragic massacres. And the way that I chose which four to present was really based on what four stories are most written about by white authors, and that was my best chance of being able to flip the script and be able to illustrate it from a Aboriginal point of view, from somebody who is from the community, the Gunditjmara community, and take those stories back. So I thought going into it that if anyone was to Google these four stories, that there would be information online. And so that's how I chose the four massacre stories.
You're speaking about the stories about massacres, yet when I looked at the photos, there is nothing, I would say, descriptive. It's very poetic, even the artwork. It's photographs, black and white photographs of, for example, a whale on the shore.
Yeah, so the way that I chose and choose to make my work for this series, for example, I didn't think that it would be necessary at all to illustrate deaths of Aboriginal people. I thought that that would not be helpful, and because my mob already know these stories and many other Aboriginal people will have, you know, many, many, many of their own massacre and frontier violence stories. They're not for us. They are for us to be able to say, yes, the stories are out there. They're there for everyone to access, but they're more for the broader community to be able to learn. So the way that I constructed them was I put in little like cues here and there. So the whale is a cue, the spear throw is a cue in that one. There's a bag of flour which represents the arsenic in another one. So there's cues all through it to be able to pick up of what seems like a peaceful landscape, of why these little items are everywhere and how they all piece together. So the absence of human activity or humans themselves, the absence is totally there, but the activity is not. You kind of think when you look at them, well, if all these things are around, where are the people? And the people aren't there because the people aren't there anymore. They've been killed.
That's very powerful. Do you think your audience will go and search for those stories, or do you imagine they would just sort of feel the feeling left there?
I think both. The series has been out for 2 years now, and I think that it's dependent on the person and where the person is up to in their life, whether they're ready to acknowledge Australia's true history or whether they're not ready yet, but they can hear the stories but they're not ready to know more. I've had cases of people coming forward and telling stories from that area of Victoria, southwest Victoria, of stories that have been passed down in their families, that their families witnessed of massacres and frontier violence, but that they had never spoken of because of the shame that they feel about it in this day and age. But yeah, I guess it's just all up to the person. And as long as I can plant a seed, I'm happy just to do that. And I've found so far that it has been positive rather than negative, and most people have been on board. But that's within the art world, the art and cultural world. It's, you know, I'm not going out into the mainstream streets of Melbourne or something, for example, and trying to force people to learn. I imagine that if I did that, there would be some resistance. But I'm generally reaching people who are ready to open up their minds.
It definitely was very powerful, the message behind those photographs. Why do you choose black and white photography? It's not just the series that's black and white. Most of your work is actually black and white. Is there a reason behind that?
Yes, I choose black and white because, first of all, it refers to history, the black and white photograph. So that's a reason. Another reason is because I tend to shoot on a few different cameras. And so while I'm photographing out on locations, it's easier for me to adjust to a black and white scale. If, say, I'm shooting something in the morning and then I'm shooting something at noon, the light is different. The camera takes in that light differently. So it's just easier for me to adjust. And if I can't catch something properly on my film camera and I can get it on my digital, there's also that difference as well. So reducing everything to black and white is sort of covering those tracks of time. But also, because of the way that I build my work, because it's so complex in construction, everything in the image is built from singular photographs. I imagine that if it was all color, it would be quite loaded. So when I reduce the color to black and white, it's clearer for the narrative to be picked up. You're not losing your contact with what cues you need to see in my imagery because of color hierarchy.
Well, your photographs are very specific. Not only that they are black and white, but they also sometimes look a little bit like a collage.
Yeah. So all of my work is collage. I call it assemblage because I feel that collage is more playful and accidental, whereas what I do is, everything that I do is very highly considered in the construction and the concept. So the way that I make everything is I will research an idea or a story for quite a period of time, and then I will go out to shoot what elements I will need for that story. So, for example, the unwarranted events, they were all places that occurred on my country, Gundijamara country. So I went out to shoot elements there, such as trees and rocks and streams, things like that. So then when I come back home, I cut out all of those elements and I start to piece together. So all of my works are highly constructed images. None of them are straight photographs. None of them are of actual places. They're all made up. And it's just to illustrate a story. It's not to say this is where it happened or, you know, give locations away. It's just all about the story and building up that narrative through the right elements of objects and nature.
And do you create more, like, still with the physical photography, or is it all digital?
So it's all digital, but I shoot 99% on film. So once I get the film, I have that processed and developed and scanned, and then it is made on my computer with Photoshop. And then it's printed and framed. So none of it is in a dark room and any of that old school sort of manual technology, but I still am using the film. So I guess it's physical for the start and the end, and just the middle processes digital.
Is the old school way of physical film something that you would like to look into and explore, or is it more describing and illustrating the stories for you?
I think that the way that I'm currently doing it is working really well for what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to illustrate. So for the time being, I wouldn't, but just for the sake of learning skill and understanding a process, I would absolutely love to do something like that. It's just a matter of time, really. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As what I've heard, it takes a lot of time. And
Yeah. It would be something that I would have to invest myself into totally to be able to not master it, because it's darkroom technologies are quite difficult, but definitely sometime in my career I would love to spend the time to do that.
I imagine in the past being a photographer would have been a very exclusive job to people who had the tools and even the dark rooms and stuff, whereas now everybody sort of has the physical tools. How do you see, or how do you experience the life of a photographer nowadays? There's so much photography around.
Well, for me, I never trained in photography. I was trained for 9 years in painting. So when I made that switch into photography, I made the switch into my grandfather's archive of negatives. So I wasn't going from painting straight into taking photos myself. There was this really slow lead of transition into using photographs as an existing tool to tell a story. So then when it came to me needing to be able to produce new images for new ideas that I had, then I went and got the camera. And I know what you mean, and I think that photography is for everybody. Everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a camera, even like the older generation who like to go and take photos of, say, birds down at the park or something like that. But I think your intention behind photography is what sets you apart. So yeah, your intention and then what you do with it. And I find that having a narrative and having a reason behind doing something gives what you do, it legitimizes it almost. Yeah.
In your artwork, you are weaving together Aboriginal tradition and narrative with contemporary world. Where do you find inspiration?
I just look at my family and where the world is at currently and what it was like at different times throughout my family's lives. So looking at, I guess, my Aboriginality today in 2020, what that is like compared to what Aboriginality was like, say, for my nan's grandfather on the mission. What am I able to do? What am I able to say that he was never able to say? And, you know, what was suppressed for him versus what's suppressed for me? What's our battles? What's our traumas? What did he achieve in his time? And what can I do to be able to tell those stories now? So that's where I draw all of my inspiration from. That everything that I say and everything that I do is related to my own family, because those stories, they belong to me. And with all of the trauma that everybody has been through in the generations before me, I believe that I can tell their stories respectfully and get them acknowledged for everything that they went through, that they didn't just have things taken from them or occur these horrible lives, I guess, and then to never be heard of again. I think that that's the main drive behind what I do, is to make sure that everybody, and it's not just specifically for my family, most Aboriginal families would relate with these stories, and they'd be able to pinpoint someone in their family that experienced the same thing or heard the same thing, or an auntie or an uncle or a grandparent. I think that it's just saying, you know, yes, we know it's legit what you went through, all of those types of things. It's acknowledging and it's respecting what happened and how I can be alive today, I guess.
Thank you so much for sharing the background of your beautiful photography and the stories of your family and your people.
No worries. Thank you for listening.
That was awarded photographer Hayley Miller-Baker, a Gundij Mara woman from Victoria, talking to us about her artwork and her award-winning photographic series.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.